Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We start our second hour. It's a three-hour program, and I am live. I'm in Southern California. I'm in our studio, and we are back on television on CBS Sports Network. So we were off last week, but the simulcast is back intact, so you can watch us, you can listen to us. We're doing our thing. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience very quickly. Your phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. Go ahead and give us a call, 1-800-636-8686. I'll roll a few of those phone calls a little bit later on. But as promised, we start hour number two by having a conversation with a defensive lineman for the Denver Broncos, a five-time Pro Bowl selection, one of just 10 active players to record seven straight seasons with at least five sacks, 61 tackles, 30 quarterback pressures, and five sacks last season, 672 tackles, 51 sacks, and 221 quarterback pressures overall, 25 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 14 quarterback pressures in five postseason games. On top of that, a two-time Titans Walter Payton Man of the Year. He was traded to Denver on Thursday. Jarrell Casey is my guest. Jarrell, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Man, it's a blessing and an honor, man. I'm blessed. I can't ask for nothing else in this time of world, man.
My man, what a great.
How you doing today?
I'm great. I love that response. That is a great response. So it's been a couple of days since that trade went down. How does it feel then to be a member of the Denver Broncos?
Man, it felt amazing. It's all I can ask for, you know, especially like I'm saying, this time of day, free agency of how crazy this world can be. I would have never thought I would have been traded. Can't lie about that, but. I'm actually excited that I'm able to be traded and didn't hit free agency where teams could have, you know, passed up on me and not took the credibility of what I've done in the last couple of years. Just blessed that the Broncos, the organization, they seen high hopes in me and they understand what I can bring to the table and they trust in my work and they ready for me to come in and, you know, help the organization out and build team chemistry and family atmosphere around there.
I want to get into all that in just 1 minute. Jarrell Casey is my guest. One more part, though, about the business. Like, you know the NFL is a business, and you know things will happen, and they could happen to pretty much everybody, and they will. But at the same time, what's your reaction when you hear you've been traded by the team that drafted you nearly 9 years ago?
Oh, man, you definitely take it by surprise. At the end of the day, you're shocked. Head starts spinning a little bit, kind of trying to figure out what the heck going on because – if I'm not mistaken, I had a pretty good solid year last year. Probably wasn't the best, but coming off injury, I think it was pretty solid. So for something like that to happen after that type of year, you will think that, you know, with an organization you've been with for a while, they give you another chance to prove what you can do, what they know you can do. But like you say, this game is a business, and we all understand how it works. If they feel your production is going down, they're gonna want conversation for that. So they feel what was best for their organization. And you know, I'm glad that the Broncos picked me up because I understand that this is going to be best for my career, you know, to get me where I need to be Hall of Fame-wise, to be able to compete for a championship at a high level. This is a great organization for that.
Jarrell Casey joining us. All right, so to that very point, you're going to join a defense that has guys like Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. What do you think about when you think about that, and how do you see yourself fitting in?
Unlimited opportunity to hit the quarterback at your will. That's what I think about. When you got guys that can rush off the edge, that can push the quarterback into the pocket, that can pull away double teams, man, you got to be in heaven. And that's all I keep thinking about is just the amount of opportunities I have one-on-ones to get a chance to bury a quarterback and put them in the dirt. And that's all that's been racing through my mind and understanding these guys as high competitors, just watching them on film, watching them throughout the years. They're great rushers, and like I said, that's all I can ask for. New to an organization that, you know, looking for pass rushing.
Jarrell Casey, my guest. You know what? That was so descriptive, the way you said what it's like to put a quarterback in the dirt. Kind of lay that out for me. When you consider all the work that goes into it and all the things that have to work out for you to make that play, what does it feel like when you get home and you put a quarterback in the dirt?
Oh, man, the joy that you get in your body, I swear, every time I hear something, I get the chills. Like, some people, they get super excited, and they get juiced. I feel the chills run through my body every time I hit a quarterback. It's just a drilling that you can't really explain. And when you get to that sideline, the smile. I always tell people, man, you could be having a terrible game, and once you get a sack in the game, man, I feel like every problem that you didn't have that day then went away. And that's the best feeling that you can have playing a being a defensive lineman trying to get after a quarterback.
So are they all nameless and faceless to you? Is it all the same, the quarterback? Or there's certain quarterbacks that when you hit, it feels even better?
Nah. Every quarterback, every opponent, backup, starter, whoever's back there, if I get my arms around you, feel these pads up against your chest, and hear you make a gasping sound, it's all the same to me.
Joel, what's that sound like when a quarterback gasps?
Like that sound right there, man, is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable, man, when you hear a quarterback get up from that pain. It's actually surprising that they get up from a hit like that, but, you know, to be able to go back and hit them again and hit it again and hear that noise and, you know, and those sacks just keep stacking up, man. It's an unbelievable feeling.
Denver Bronco, Terrell Casey is my guest. You know, something is, it's one thing for them to incorporate you into that scheme, but the thing that keeps coming up from guys who have played with you and people who've covered you in the past is your ability to raise the intensity of everybody around you, to raise the intensity of the entire team and bring out the best in those on the team. How do you go about doing that?
My biggest thing is I'm a person, like, I compete and I challenge everyone to the max. I'm a guy in practice when I see all wide receivers lined up a certain way. I see guys doing things a certain type of way. I'm a person, I'm going to come at you and I'm going to tell you, hey, you're doing this a little wrong. You're doing that a little wrong. And so, you know, you're holding people accountable. And when you're holding people accountable, you're doing your job, it brings that intensity up because now they want to hold you accountable. They're now waiting for you to mess up because they want to say something to you. And when you're constantly still doing what you're doing consistently, it makes people say, damn, I can't catch him. So I got to keep improving because I don't want to hear his mouth no more. And, you know, it's not me yelling at him. It's not me cussing him out. It's more so me just, you know, hey, that's not how we're doing it. That's not how we're going to do it today. And, you know, when they understand that, man, it just holds everybody to that accountableness and everybody's ready to roll.
Yeah, who were some of the guys that did that to you when you were a young guy coming up?
Actually, nobody did that to me. That was the surprising part when I got in the league, and that made me take on an approach. First, when I came in, a lot of guys was more so me guys. A lot of guys wasn't necessarily trying to lift the next guy up. They're trying to get it for themselves. And when I came in, I always said, man, your team can't improve if it's not everybody improving. You could always be getting, you know, be improving. You can be making the multiple Pro Bowls. You can be doing what, but the players around you not developing, man, all that stuff is a waste. Because you're not putting yourself in the run for a playoff. You're not putting yourself in the run for a championship game. So my thing is always trying to bring those guys to the same level you're at. You know, you want everybody playing at a Pro Bowl level. And the only way you can do that is holding yourself accountable at a high level and letting those guys see it.
You know, I think anybody listening right now, like, I can feel the energy. I can feel the desire and the determination. But it's going to be a really unusual offseason in the sense that because of COVID-19, players are not allowed to go to the team facilities. So how do you go about staying in shape and making sure that you're ready to roll when everything does start up again?
Man, you have to just keep on improvising. There's always time to work out. That's all we have is time to work out. So you can find those times right now. Like, and right when I got this phone, me and my family, I invited everybody over today. We all at my mom's house down here in Long Beach, and we about to hit it in the backyard. We about to take the driveway, turn it into a workout obstacle, and find workouts to do. You want to just bring people around you, and it's a great time for you to encourage your family members that don't work out, you know, to get out there and start working out with you and do things like that. So we're just taking advantage of it, having fun. We're going to go play a little hoop later at the play some basketball at the park a little later. It's just get yourself out and try to stay away family. As long as all y'all clean and healthy and they not going around nobody, Try to find that time to keep yourself and your family active as possible.
Listen, before I turn you loose to the family, I'm glad you mentioned the LBC, because even if you did not, I was going to. What was it like to grow up in Long Beach? And then in terms of your football background, what was it like to play at the football factory that is Long Beach Poly, one of the best?
Man, it was unbelievable. Growing up in Long Beach teaches a lot. It teaches you how to become a man early. It teaches you how to take responsibility early. A lot of kids and people around this neighborhood, we grew up in single-family homes. And that's all we know is trying to grow up fast and trying to provide for one another and try to make sure you're doing what's right. And, you know, if anybody know about Long Beach, it's a very high gang-infested area. So you kind of want to try to keep yourself away from that as much as you can and going on the right path. And I should say thank you to my mom, my family, and my brother for leading me on that right direction to get me to where I'm at today. But, you know, being able to go to Long Beach Poly, man, that's every kid's dream from Long Beach. If you didn't go to Poly, you went to another school talking about Poly. And, you know, to be able to win championship after championships and that just want to make you, you know, get to that next level and understand the value of winning, especially coming from an organization like Long Beach Poly. So for me to be able to get with an organization like the Broncos that knows winning, won a Super Bowl a few years ago, that's all you can ask for, to get back with a championship organization.
Drill, I married somebody who went to Poly, so I understand that Poly thing really, really well. Nothing but respect.
There we go.
That's an amazing school. It's an amazing school academically. It's an amazing school athletically. One last thought. I did mention off the top that you're a two-time Titans Walter Payton Man of the Year. Nashville is a community that you and your wife and your family have invested in so much. It means so much to you. How do you go about processing that and then start to develop relationships that are similar to that in Denver when you get there? Is that the plan?
Definitely is the plan. Definitely is a hard process because, like you said, you build so many relationships out there, coaching relationships, not only just for foundation work and charity work. You grow a relationship with the people that work there and build a relationship of friendship and family. And when you leave that, it makes it hard. So the reach out and the text messages and the DMs that I've been getting from the people from the organization, people from the city, has definitely been amazing. My big thing is it doesn't stop. No matter, you know, going to Denver, going to Long Beach, going wherever I'm going to head to later in the future, it doesn't stop. My relationship with Nashville, the community will always be there. I'll continue to do my work, and now I'm building in Denver. Biggest thing is just going to be hitting it hard, getting right into the community, getting out there, meeting the people, getting to understand what they need. That's going to be the biggest thing, getting to understand of what they need and see what I can bring to the city to make help and change and make the life a little bit easier for the Broncos out there. But at the end of the day, my goal is just to make sure, you know, I'm being true to myself, and that's all I can ask for.
It is a great message. He is a five-time Pro Bowl selection and one of just 10 active players to have 7 straight seasons with at least 5 sacks and a new opportunity in Denver. Jarrell Casey, my guest. Jarrell, I appreciate you so much. I'm going to turn you loose to your family. Great to have you back on the show, and thank you very much. That's the kind of energy we all needed today.
Thank you. You have a great one.
You too. You too, Jarrell Casey. That's a great, great addition to the Broncos, both on and off the field, especially in that locker room. All right, so we are open right now until the top of hour number 3. So that means a couple of segments for you. 1-800-636-8686. Take advantage of it. Like he said, we have lots of time. You probably have a ton of time on your hands. Use it. Pick up the phone. Hit us up. What do you want to cover? You always wonder, like, we're not there and they mic some of these guys, but if you ever wondered the answer to the question, what does it sound like when a quarterback gets hit really hard? What does that sound like?
Oh.
It sounds like that, right?
Oh.
Now you know. Hey, what's it sound like when you hit a quarterback really hard in the right spot? That's Jarrell Casey. I asked Bill Romanowski once, what's it sound like when you put the perfect lick on a quarterback?
Oh.
Pretty similar, actually.
Oh.
Oh. My man Jarrell, what's this sound like when you put a good hit on a quarterback?
Oh.
Romo, when you line up a quarterback, what's it sound like?
Oh.
Pretty similar, except that Romo's laughing at the end of his hit.
Oh.
There you go. Just bringing the sounds of the game to you.
Oh.
All right, we will come right back. We've heard from Myron Rowe. We've heard from Jarrell Casey. James Bradbury coming up, top of hour number 3. The perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. When you need to find that next person to help grow your business, LinkedIn Jobs will match the right talent with your open role quickly. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. I am one of them. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you are looking for, things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. This is how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post is seen by the people you want to hire. People with the skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder a person is hired by or every 8 seconds with LinkedIn. And why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/Rome. LinkedIn.com/ROME. That's LinkedIn.com/Rome. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I know you all want to see college basketball this time of year. So, tune in to CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind. Relive some of the best moments from March Madness. All right, so let me reset you really quickly. I am Jim Rome. You are listening to The Jungle, or maybe you're watching it. So I'm looking for the positives in all things. One of the positives of the lockdown, the shutdown, is the fact that many of you are at home, where you are supposed to be. But many of you are at home at a time when you generally are not home, so you can never watch the program. And a lot of you have found it, and we are back on the air on CBS Sports Network. Now, this is not the way the show normally looks. I'm thrilled that we're back on. But this is kind of a stripped-down version thereof. The production value is not what it would normally be, because obviously not as many people are working on it. But we're trying to do the very best we can to maintain a sense of normalcy. And we have been deemed necessary. Media is necessary, so we are allowed to come to work. So what we've done here in our Jungle Studios, we have stripped down. The XR4TI is down to 3, and I'm here, and we're keeping our distance from each other, and we have heightened protocol for all things, and we are being responsible and taking great care to do what we need to do to continue to provide this service. And we work in a standalone building. It's only us, the four of us, right now. 1-800-636-8686. It does not mean we will be here forever. We're just going day to day, and right here we are here, and it's good to be here. So if you just want to lay out and listen and let me help you spin clock because you're doing the responsible thing, I'm glad to do it. If you want to participate, maybe you've heard the show for a long time or watched the show but never got around to it, now would be a good time to give it a shot too. You have your phone number, and you can find me on Twitter, and you can also shoot me an email. In the meantime, we are doing the things that we normally do, the three-hour show, the Jim Rome podcast on Wednesday, and we are still exploring any and all opportunities. Now you know. All right, so another topic for you. And not so surprisingly, it is Patriots-related. The Ballad of One Robert James Gronkowski. It's kind of been less than a ballad, though, right? Less of a ballad and more of a 160 BPM techno dance anthem when you think about Gronk. I mean, think about the 31 years that Gronk has been orbiting the sun. Think about this for a minute. Gronk is retired from his first gig as one of the best to ever do it. And he put 3 rings on his oversized digits in the process, and yet seamlessly transitioned from professional football meathead to professional TV meathead. And I say that with the utmost respect for this guy. Utmost respect. That's not a backhanded compliment. That's a straight compliment. It's not easy to go from a lifetime athlete to anything else unless you have a plan and you work that plan and you start working that plan early. But Gronk is making it look easy. Gronk is making it look effortless. Mainly because, and I think it's not so much that he had a plan or he worked his plan, mainly because I think what Gronk is doing is rolling out of the rack every single morning and just being himself. And people love him for it. And executives with deep pocketbooks are rushing in to pay him for it. You see, maybe this guy's not a meathead at all. Maybe this guy is the smartest guy in the room. After all, it is the same dude who had his own cruise party while playing for the Patriots, who are the literal antithesis of a cruise party.
I'm trying to get laid.
You're trying to get laid?
Yeah.
So why are you on the Gronk cruise?
To sleep with Gronk.
But you understand that's tough. That's going to be tough.
It might be tough because there's like way hotter chicks than me, but I'm hoping I'm a little bit more freaky than them.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
All right, so if that guy was throwing those kind of ragers, not only as a player, but as a member of the Patriots, you can only imagine what his post-playing days were going to look like. And so far, it's gone exactly to script. There was the New Year's Eve party this year on Fox, where Gronk spike smashed a life-sized Lego bust of his co-host, Steve Harvey.
What are you doing? Are you serious? I don't want to work with him no more. Why is he here? Why are you here? What is wrong with you? You're mentally imbalanced.
Why is he here? Why? Why ask why? You know the answer to that, my man. Acting like a bull in a Lego shop is not surprising. My man Steve Harvey, let me tell you about Steve Harvey. The time that I've spent with him and what little I know about Steve Harvey, he ain't backing down from anybody or anything. My man's not afraid of anything. And he's like, hey man, I'm not working with this cat. What are you doing here? What do you want? But what's that say about Gronk? Getting a gig alongside Steve Harvey, who's like red hot, less than 1 year removed from football. But this is the kind of superstar ascension that he's on right now. Then there was the Super Bowl party this past month, the one that the Hood himself, Bill Belichick, attended. Again, throwing a televised Super Bowl party in Miami is not shocking at all. But having Darth Hoodie show up in board shorts and flip-flops for that same party is. So far, Gronk has had at least one major TV appearance each month to start 2020. And despite the current situation around the globe, March and April are no different. He's not showing any sign of slowing down. Because this past Friday, Gronk showed up at WWE's SmackDown to promote his WrestleMania hosting gig, which is coming up next month. Right now, with every sport on hold pretty much, WWE is forging on, and they're doing it without a crowd. Remember last week I played you some sound of Stone Cold Steve Austin cutting a promo from the ring on microphone to an empty arena. And it was weird. Hilariously weird, but weird.
If you want to know what 316 Day is all about, give me a hell yeah. I said, if you want to know what 316 Day is all about, give me a hell yeah.
If there is one single professional sport that needs the crowd more than any other, it's got to be wrestling. Performing a scripted monologue to an empty room is one step removed from practicing at home in front of the mirror. I mean, nothing about that feels or sounds or looks right. But right now, content is king. Everybody needs content. And if it's original content and fresh content, as opposed to regurgitated or repurposed content, even better. So the WWE is sacrificing optics, and they're churning out content, and Gronk is here for it. Here's his intro and his walk down the ramp Friday night at SmackDown.
For the first time ever, Rob Gronkowski!
Visualize Gronk dancing like only Gronk can in an empty building. Acting like there's 24,000 people in there. Imagine Gronk walking out, losing his mind, completely losing his mind, and dancing like an insane person and hyping up a crowd that does not exist for an entire minute. The commitment alone is worth your respect. That's what he did. He lived up to the introduction. The second thing. The hell is that song? Can I get some of that again? The hell is that? Is that the royalty-free knockoff of Party Rock by LMFAO? Listen to Gronk's walk-up music. Okay, that's Gronk's. Now listen to LMFAO.
Yeah.
I smell a lawsuit. Dead rip, allegedly. All right, so he gets introduced. He dances for an entire minute to a bunch of fans who aren't there. He loses his mind. Now it's time for the big dog to enter the ring and cut a promo. Man, you got to sell. You got to sell, and you got to sell hard, especially if the room is empty. Here is Gronk's first attempt.
Let me tell you something. I've been watching since second grade from the nosebleeds when the WWE... will come to Buffalo, New York, my hometown. I've been watching at the arena FCW Arena, that is, in Tampa, Florida, to support my boy, Mojo Rawley, when there was only five people in the stands. I've been to sold out WrestleManias in front of 80,000 people. And now I'm here in front of zero people. And I'm still hype, baby.
Hey, man, you know what? I buy it. I believe him. I really do. I believe that he is still hype, baby.
And I'm still hype, baby.
Showmanship level infinity. You cannot teach that. Now the really hard part. Playing off another performer. Here's Baron Corbin telling Gronk that he expects him to bend the knee. Let's see how Gronk does here.
My name is King Corbin. And as your king, I expect it to be greeted a very certain way. I expect you to get on your knees and bow down.
Nah, we're good, man. We don't get on our knees. I'm sorry.
Let's not get into that. You know, that's passable. Hey, that's harder than it looks. Not bad. Not great. Not horrible. But you got to imagine that if a crowd was there, it probably would have backed him up and gone nuts when he, well, effectively told off the heel. But again, there is no crowd. So it just sounds weird. None of this is going to get any less weird next month at WrestleMania 36. Because WrestleMania also will not have any fans. And Gronk is going to be working that mic a lot more than he did Friday night. However, if anything can work, that can work. And here are two reasons why it can work. Number one, Gronk is still hype, baby.
And I'm still hype, baby.
That's reason number one. That's a good reason. Reason number two, it's still real to me, damn it.
It's still real to me, damn it. Thank you.
Take it easy, man.
Bet on Gronk. Bet on Gronk. Everybody is scrambling to create content. You know what Gronk does? While everybody else is scrambling to create content, Gronk just wakes up.
Roger that.
Roger that, big dog. He wakes up, opens up his eyes, looks around, content.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Big dog is content, baby.
And I'm still hype, baby.
1-800-636-8686.
Give me a hell yeah.
It's a challenging time. It's a troubling time. On some level, these are dark times. But on another level, we're still going to have some fun. James Bradbury coming up, top of the hour. He's a New York Giants cornerback. You have a telephone number? I would encourage you to use it. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk about Mariano Rivera's take about the upcoming baseball season. You know, it does not look like, obviously, there's going to be a full regular season or a full complement of games. That means we have a shortened season, perhaps. And if we have a shortened season, how are we going to view the World Series? Mo Rivera is already out in front of that. His thoughts on that, which I will get to a little bit later on. Clones, I know that Kenny Rogers passed. I know that you know that he passed. I know that you want me to talk about it. I know all this. They pay me to know these things. Stop telling me about it. I already know. Jameis Winston went from leading the NFL in passing yardage last year to not having a starting job, possibly the next year. That to me, even for Jameis, a guy not known for ball security, is still a little strange to me. And I'll make that argument too. He is now an unrestricted free agent. All of that still ahead, and your telephone calls. Do not go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Cruising through hour number two. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services that you need to keep your business running smoothly. See for yourself when you visit Grainger.com. Grainger for the ones who get it done. All right, some breaking news. USA Today reporting the 2020 Tokyo Olympics will be postponed, likely until 2021. That according to IOC member Dick Pound. Dick Pound told USA Today Monday that the games are going to be postponed, likely until 2021, with the details to be worked out in the next 4 weeks or so. Quote, on the basis of the information the IOC has, postponement has been decided. He said in a phone interview, he went on, quote, the parameters going forward have not been determined, but the games are not going to start on July 24th. That much I know. He continued, it will come in stages. We will postpone this and began to deal with all the ramifications of moving this, which are immense. End of quote. And that, in part, is why they waited as long as they did. I mean, that's inevitable. That was going to happen. But because moving it and the ramifications of moving it and the logistics involved was so massive and so immense, they were going to wait as long as they possibly could before making that decision. And then you had Canada pull out. And others were going to follow suit. And it was a no-brainer, and they had to do it. So hopefully they can postpone to 2021. That would probably be the top priority. That's not, it's not a given that that's how that's going to go. But that would be their priority at this point. And that's the last major chip to fall, really, and by far the biggest. 1-800-636-8686. So that breaking news. Veteran IOC member Dick Pound says the Tokyo Olympics are going to be postponed. He made that call to USA Today. All right. In the meantime, I mentioned Jameis Winston a couple of times. And you've got the quarterback carousel right now, which is spinning pretty furiously in the NFL. 1 week into free agency, and it's become abundantly clear, there are not a lot of NFL teams out there who want to eat a W.
I'll say one thing. I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight? How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Come in. That's man. Not all
They're like, wait, what? What does that even mean? They can't commit to something that they do not understand. Well, 1 week in, what we have here is a former first overall pick in the NFL draft. Not only the first overall pick in the NFL draft, but a former first overall pick in the draft who led the entire NFL in passing yardage last season. Who's 26 in his prime, a former top pick overall, and he led the NFL in passing yardage. And he still does not have a job for next year. And as we know, this was not a scenario in which the world is waiting on this guy's decision and the quarterback dominoes around the league then fall. That's not what this is. But it's a case of who in the hell is going to sign Jameis Winston? Kind of uncharted territory when you think about it. He's going to be the first player since the merger to lead the league in yards passing one season and change teams the next. I mean, that in and of itself is something. The first guy since the merger to lead the league in passing yardage and change teams. He may change teams and not have a starting job. I mean, yeah, of course I could see the guy leaving Tampa. They've got TB12. I mean, you'd have to be a little surprised that, not that he's leaving because they have Brady, but that nobody has any interest. Not yet. I mean, yeah, of course the guy was not going to get the 30 to 35 mil that he was seeking, reportedly. We knew this. But there was a time where I would not have been shocked to see somebody paying less than that and still a lot of money to see what this guy has. How many times have you seen somebody or an organization say, you know what, bring him in, get him in here, we can fix him, we can fix that, we can handle that, we just got to get him in our building. Well, that's not going to happen right now, but get him in our system. Let our guys work with him, because not only can we work with that, we can fix that. And yes, I understand that we know what this guy's problems are. His turnovers. He's historic. He is a turnover factory. My man is the only member of the 30-30 Club. An extremely exclusive fraternity numbering one member. Him. Like, the NFL's been around for a long, long time. And Jameis has done something that nobody has ever done. So that's a problem, without question. Hell, I can see why Tampa fan has had enough. Dude's first and last pass in a Bucs uniform were both pick sixes. And then there were the 86 INTs in between those two in his 5 seasons there. Again, on the wrong side of history. I get it. But you can't tell me the guy doesn't have talent. Hell, most publications and columnists' top free agent lists had this guy in their top 10 for free agency. And they still do. I mean, there's enough to see in him to think that he may not lead anybody to a Super Bowl, but you can't tell me that in that league with 30-plus starters, he doesn't have a chance or doesn't deserve a chance to start somewhere, anywhere. I mean, in his defense, and yes, I'm going to try and make an argument for Winston. In his defense, he's had a lot of change in Tampa. 3 head coaches in 5 seasons. He was not on a good overall team his entire time there. His line has not been great. Sure, he's had weapons on the outside, but he's never had a good running game that helped him. He's been in a one-dimensional look that makes it much easier for defenses. He played through injury. And he threw for over 5,100 yards. But still no market for this guy as a starter. None. Like, I'm not saying that his turnovers and inability to channel his gunslinger should not keep Tampa from moving on. I get that. And they did. And they should have. And they upgraded. All I'm saying is, if you add all the things up for this guy, I think that you can build a case for him getting another shot to start somewhere. Somewhere, right? Somewhere. And having said that, I know the jokes write themselves. Am I right, clones? But he did get LASIK surgery recently. That's funny, right? As much as I would love, and let me tell you something, I would love this. As much as I would love for him to go to New England and play for the Hood, the NFL Network is saying that's not going to happen. That's not likely. I mean, like, there's a lot that I want out of life, and there are a lot of things in life that I would love to have. But at this point in my life, I'm not sure there's anything that I want more than, well, health and happiness for everybody. And Jameis Winston to work with the Hood. Could you imagine this guy trying to explain to that grumpy old man how to eat a W?
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
The Hood would be like, mumble, mumble, Jameis, mumble, mumble, it makes no sense, Jameis. Jameis, could you please just take the field, mumble, mumble, if you throw it to the other team again, Jameis, the only thing you'll be eating is the pine, hearty har har, how's that grabby there, Jameis? How you like that one, Jameis? Hey, Jameis, if you throw it to any of the guys on the other team, even one more time, you'll be eating lots of pine, Jameis. Not a W, but pine. How many of you Jameises want to eat a P? Pine. Ha, hearty har har. How you like that? How them apples grab you? Like, I do want a lot of things. I really do. I want a lot of things, but I'm desperate for one thing. That. Man, I can't even imagine the exchanges between those two guys on the sideline. And now I'm not going to get it. So, what's out there? How is it going to play out? You've got Nick Foles in Chicago. You have Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina. You've got Phillip with Indy. Tannehill re-signs with Tennessee. How about the Chargers? Nah, don't see that happening. They've got Tyrod. They've got a draft pick. I'm sure it's going to go to either one of those things. Let's face it, Jameis is not the most agile guy. They want somebody who can move around a little bit. He has an even higher slinger mentality than Rivers, and they let Rivers go.
Told ya.
And they've got Tyrod Taylor, who they like. And they've got the 6th overall pick in the draft, so I don't see him coming here. How about Miami? I want to make an argument for that, but I can't really do it because they've got Fitzpatrick. They've got Rosen on their roster. And it seems by every indication, they're going to make a run in one of the top QB prospects in the draft. How about Jacksonville? Then again, why? You just got rid of Foles, and you gave the keys to Beowulf Minshew. So where does that leave Jameis? I mean, is this guy really a backup now? a backup in 2020, a backup after throwing for 5,100 yards plus, a backup in Pittsburgh, a backup in New Orleans. Where? You know, I hate to admit it. Like, I'm trying to talk myself into it. That's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to talk myself into it, but I get it. I get it because my man has mad, mad love for giving the ball to the other team. Mad love that is truly historic. The NFL's leader in passing yardage has not even hit his prime, and he cannot find a starting gig. At least you know my man still has his confidence.
You look at my numbers, I'm balling. You know, I got to stop giving the ball to the other team, right? Like this.
You look at my numbers, I'm balling. I just got to stop giving the ball to the other team. Yeah, pretty much that. You need to convince somebody to let you try to stop giving the ball to the other team. And that has not happened yet. Yeah, I tried hard. I tried hard to convince myself. I spent the entire segment trying to convince myself that this guy should be starting in the NFL next year. And I'm not sure that I can do it. 30 picks and 5 fumbles will do that to you. When we come back, James Bradberry, cornerback for the New York Giants, is my guest. Stay tuned. Third hour straight ahead.